Moonbeam launching in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Moonbeam Radio, the number one source for breaking news, current events, and social commentary. I'm your host, Jay Daniel. This is episode S323, Dark Man X. Thank you for your time and attention. Your ear gates, eye gates, and heart gate, you are appreciated. Now, if you're new to the show, welcome. Now, if you're a longtime supporter, welcome back. Now, this week, we'll discuss DMX, the Derek Chauvin case, NYPD 90, Army Lieutenant, Matt Gaetz, Agent Inspector, and the homeless plan. So I'm sure that you know about it, have heard about it, but rapper DMX has died at 50. He's a huge part of my childhood, my formative years. Been listening to his music for a long time, but in particularly been listening to it, you know, the last few days, but more so the last 2 hours, just been going in on, wow, I ain't heard that in a long time, right? But the issue surrounding his death is there's been conflicting reports regarding that. Now, whether it was a heart attack or drug overdose or something else, we don't know. What is known is that X was in a vegetative state on life support for nearly a week with limited brain activity. Now, you had the family sending out reports, press releases saying they want their privacy. He's still alive. Steve Rifkin, his manager, former manager, I don't know, whatever that is, right? Saying stop it with the early RIPs on social media. Meanwhile, all the Rough Riders done said it, right? So it was a lot of confusion. But let me say this. That man was that beloved. Like, privacy. He's a public figure first. And then he's that beloved by the people. No, you don't get privacy like you would with Big Mama going. It ain't the same thing. He touched a lot of lives. I just want to say that. Now, there's been celebrations. I saw a video going down in, I believe it was Orlando, Florida, playing DMX songs in the streets. There's a lot of love. Brooklyn did the same thing. Yonkers, right? And I'm sure other places as well that I just am unaware of. But while we're mourning DMX, you got the New York Post. So we're mourning, celebrating, all those things at the same time. But you got the New York Post, right? NYPost.com. They put up this story, and here's the headline. DMX and the houses he's lost during his rap career. No, it's not a joke. You can go look it up yourself. I'm disgusted by that. You don't do that to Elvis or your white heroes on their deathbed, even when they're not dying. You don't bring up their shortcomings or their financial issues. But DMX and the houses he's lost during his rap career. Now, I'm going to tell you who wrote it. Sarah Paintner, P-A-Y-N-T-E-R, Paintner. This is on April 6th at 8:03 p.m. You can look it up yourself. NY Post, that's wrong what you did. It ain't right. It's disrespectful. You don't understand the impact that that man had, DMX, Dark Man X, had Earl Simmons, had on hip-hop music, melanated people. You wouldn't dare do that to one of the white heroes. You wouldn't dare do that to Elvis. You wouldn't dare do that to John Wayne, right? I'm going to go there tonight. One time for DMX. Where my dogs at? two times for DMX. Where my dog's at? X, we love you. Want to say thank you for your services, your voice, your impact. But I ain't finished with New York Post. Let me go there too. 1010 Wins did the same thing. They didn't bring up his financial issues. They just failed to mention him all day that day. I don't know what they've done since. But when the news broke that he passed, when he was taken off life support, they didn't mention nothing. Rock the Bells Radio, right? LL Cool J, salute. Hot 97, salute. Power 105 and a whole host of others gave it up to the dog. 1010 Wins mentions Philip, Prince Philip, dying. That's what they got. So I want to say this, 1010 Wins, NewYorkPost.com, for your actions regarding DMX, we're going to have you hold this. One more time. Where my dog's at? DMX, thank you. Light and love to everyone that is dealing with this loss, celebrating the life of Earl Simmons, a.k.a. DMX. Most of all to his family. He had a bunch of kids. He was a family man, even with all his struggles. And it also was his ex-wife's birthday when he passed. I thought that was eerie. But nonetheless, light and love to all those that are affected by this loss. It's a big one for the hip-hop community. X, you'll be missed. Again, thank you for your dedication and just passion and willingness to bear all in your craft. Salute. Where my dog's at? Now, the Derek Chauvin case. That's continuing this week. Now, up to date, there have been 35 witnesses been called. Did you know that? Now, among them was medical examiner Andrew Baker. Now, in his testimony, he states that George Floyd's heart and lungs stopped because of police involvement. He says this. Every medical official that takes the stand says this. So can we now move on from Floyd being on trial for his own murder? Huh? George Floyd died because of lack of oxygen and not because of drugs, fentanyl, weed, cocaine, whatever you're trying to say he had. I'm not even disputing that he had it. We can just go with that. He had it in him. But that ain't what killed him. What killed him was the knee on the neck for 9.5 minutes. That's it. Game, set, match. Now, Mr. Baker still has some explaining to do, according to Jay Daniel. He did the initial autopsy. Asphyxia or lack of oxygen wasn't listed as the cause of death. Why? Why not? Why say it on the stand, but not in the initial report? Riddle me that. Two questions remain, though. What's next for the defense? Now that it's been established that the knee on the neck, which we already knew, was the cause of death. Not drugs, not him hopping the fence when he was 6 years old, not him cutting school as a freshman, none of that caused the death. Not even the counterfeit, alleged counterfeit bill was the cause of death. So now what do you have? Defense. There's another question. More serious than what's next for the defense. Will Derek Chauvin take the stand? And then what happens? Let's say he does take the stand. Is that a good thing or not for both sides? Will that be good for him? Will it be good for the prosecution, for George Floyd's family side? The side of justice? Do you think that that's a move that they'll do, the defense? I don't know. What I do know is this man murdered George Floyd on a Minneapolis street in broad daylight. And for me, I don't believe that he will be convicted. I know that's a tough pill to swallow for most to hear. But part of that comes from his family taking that $27 million. They deserved that money. They deserve more, right? It's the timing for me. Because in America, money in a settlement communicates non-verbally that we cool, everything straight, we good. We even, right? And so I'm a little like, I don't know that this guy is going to go down for this. It's America, and this is still a former white police officer. He's still a Blue Lives guy. Now, I know, you know, other law enforcement officers and officials have taken the stand and gone against him. But a lot of them still will tell you that they bleed blue first. So I don't know. I really don't see him going down for this, going to jail, as they say, to bring him to justice, which in military terms means they killed him, right? I'm not confident in that, though. I'm hopeful, but not confident. But what do you think? Do you think this is enough to put Derek Chauvin away for a decade? Maybe two? There's no wrong answer here. We talking. But I'm not sure of it. Not confident in that. Source here is NBCnews.com. There's a New York district attorney named Eric Gonzalez. He wants to dismiss 90 convictions tied to a former New York City police detective. This detective is accused of framing numerous suspects. What's the number? What? Glad you asked. There are 27 felony convictions and 63 misdemeanor convictions that were based on the work conducted by this former undercover NYPD detective. His name is Joseph Franco. Joseph Franco. Now, Franco was indicted in April of 2019 on official misconduct and 16 counts of first-degree perjury. Come on, DMX.
Where my dog's at?
16 counts of first-degree perjury. 3 months later, he was indicted on 10 additional counts of perjury. Now, if you don't know, perjury is lying under oath in court. Joseph Franco has four incidents where he framed people, individuals, black men, for making drug transactions. Now, when we say framed, there's video footage of it, right? He says that he witnessed them conduct a drug transaction, a hand-to-hand as it is known. When they reviewed the video, so he writes that on the report. Let me slow down. He writes that on the report. His official job report for criminal activity. He writes he witnessed a drug transaction happen with these individuals. When they review the surveillance tape of this, there's no hand-to-hand, there's no drugs on the premises, there's nothing. Framed. Dirty cop. Say that. You know that movie, Nicolas Cage, salute to him. Bad Lieutenant, down in New Orleans. If you haven't seen it, don't know what I'm talking about, Google it, Netflix it, HBO Max it, whatever you got to do, you should watch that movie. That's a good movie. Not quite a film, but it's a good movie. It's a good watch. Bad Lieutenant here, except this is a detective. So Franco was fired by the NYPD in May and is currently awaiting trial on both these indictments. NYPD, New York City as a whole, keeps taking these L's. But come on, law enforcement. This guy is dirty. And unfortunately, he's not the only one. He gonna go down, and hopefully he tells on others, not framing them, though, tells on other dirty cops and get them up out of here. He ain't the only one. It's no such thing as a lone wolf when it comes to law enforcement. But 90 convictions. Think about how many lives, families were broken up falsely because this guy is lying under oath in court on official police documents, reports, and then gets on the stand and lies about it. Horrible. Firing him, even him going to jail, ain't enough. But that's all we have. Because I'm not for the death penalty for this. I'm not for none of that. But it's wrong. Because here's the gravity of it. Those men and possibly women, I'm not sure, but those individuals that were lied upon because of Mr. Franco, former detective, had to go to jail. Maybe they fought to get out. They had to serve the whole time. They in jail, in prison, falsely. Then they get out. Whenever they get out, however they get out, then they have this on their record, permanent record for the rest of their lives. Now they have to fight to get it expunged because it's been exposed that this guy falsified records and committed perjury. It should just be automatic that anything he was touching on that is expunged and dismissed. But they're going to have to fight to get it off their record. NYPD and this false detective Franco, on behalf of all of those 90 convictions, the men and women, the families, the lives that you have broken up falsely, committing perjury, we gonna need you to hold this. Source here is armynews.com. Now, this happens to be a tough subject here. But we have to talk about it. We have to go into it this week. So there is a U.S. Army officer has filed a $1 million federal lawsuit against two Virginia police officers who reportedly pepper sprayed and assaulted him. Now, this is during a traffic stop that happened in December of 2020. So the officers drew their guns, pointed them at the lieutenant here, and told him that he was fixing to ride the lightning. Now, if you don't know, fixing to ride the lightning is a reference to the electric chair, which was also a line from the movie, the film, The Green Mile. Now, this movie, The Green Mile, this film, right, is about a black man facing execution. Special black man, right? John Coffey, right? Michael Clark Duncan. So, the traffic stop was captured on Nazario's cell phone video. That's the second lieutenant's name, Karan Nazario. Now, it's on his cell phone video and on the body cams worn by Officer Crockett and Gutierrez. Those are the two officers involved in this incident. Now, Nazario is black and Latino. I need to put the proper context with this story. He's driving home from the base. He works at the base, driving home. Windsor Police Officer Daniel Crocker radioed he was attempting to stop a vehicle with no rear license plates and tinted windows. He said the driver was eluding police and he considered it a high-risk traffic stop. This is what he's saying over the radio, and this is also according to the report that he submitted. Now, Nazario was trying to stop in a well-lit area, which I'm sure that you've heard or been instructed at some point that it's a good idea to, if you're unsure or feel unsafe, to drive yourself to a well-lit area, right? A common place, a common area, not some, you know, desolate spot, right? So he wants to stop in a well-lit area for officer safety and out of respect for the officers. Another officer, Joe Gutierrez, was driving by when he heard Crocker's call over the radio. He saw him attempting to stop the SUV and decided to join the traffic stop. Gutierrez acknowledges that Nazario's decision to drive to a lit area happens to him a lot. And 80% of the time, it's a minority. This is all in the report. And on the website. Now, this footage shows Nazario dressed in his uniform with his hands held in the air outside the driver's side window. As he's told the armed officers, "I'm honestly afraid to get out." Anybody relate to that? Then the officer says, "Yeah, you should be." He is pepper sprayed several times. Again, there's video footage of this. You can watch it yourself. "I don't even want to reach for my seatbelt. Can you please? My hands are out. Can you please? Look, this is really messed up." This is what he's saying with his eyes shut. Pepper sprayed the hell up. This is what is happening. I have to paint this picture. It ain't right. Now, there's some issues with this behavior off top. Use of force here. He isn't a threat. He's wearing military fatigues. He's got his name on his uniform. Like, you know who he is. But the officers shout conflicting orders to him, telling him to put his hands out the window while also telling him to open the door and get out. Well, how are you supposed to do that? See, when people get bent out of shape and get emotional, like I'm right now, with law enforcement, This is why. You want to do something to him. You want to harm this man just because he has melanated skin. Telling him to put his hands out the window and also telling him to get out of the car. How? Take his seatbelt off. Because that's what they're yelling in the video too. Take your seatbelt off. But as soon as he reaches, you're going to pop him because you're drawn. That man was scared. I was scared for him. This is the type of things that you want to talk about gun laws? Go after that damn P-89 service pistol. How about that? How about dealing with law enforcement first? How about dealing with government officials first? How about talk to the people, the real people that are dealing with in the trenches, dealing with them and see what they see as an immediate threat to their life, their lives? What would impact them the most? Address those things first. Then get on your soapbox and talk to the lobbyists about, you know, bump stocks and filters. All this grandstanding going on tour. And he's a military guy. So nonetheless, he has filed this $1 million lawsuit. He'll get it, and you know those officers will be put on light duty and be right back to work. But the groundwork is laid. You see the footage? It's out there. Do something about that. Let that be your jumping off point. Not going on tour talking about, you know, 1.9 trillion. Why it's a good idea. It's not a good idea. That's why you have to tell us. That's why you're trying to indoctrinate people to tell them that it's a good idea. You got to go on tour. CNN.com is the source here. So in May 2018, Matt Gaetz, he sent his friend Joel Greenberg $900 versus $900 via the Venmo app. Anybody use Venmo? It's very popular. You use either Venmo or Cash App, right? And by the way, my Cash App, $ June Moon Media, it works. If you want to send, you want to donate, support the program, the broadcast, it's there. Thank you in advance. So this guy Greenberg used Venmo to send three young women sums of money, all totaling to the total of $900. So in the memo field, for the first of Gates' transactions to Greenberg was titled Test. So in the second, Gates wrote a nickname for one of the women. Now, I can't say the nickname because she just turned 18. So we ain't going to do that. We ain't play that game. Now, Greenberg described the money as being for tuition and school. Greenberg is the former Seminole County tax collector and has now been federally indicted on 33 counts, including sex trafficking crimes involving a 17-year-old. Now, court documents say that Greenberg was engaged in a sugar daddy relationship. And the New York Times reports that the Justice Department investigation is looking into Gates' involvement in the cash for sex ring. This is not looking good for Matt Gaetz. It keeps getting worse by the day. And him getting on TV talking about, nah, this is false. No, homie. There's a paper trail So just because you're saying it's false don't mean that it's false. Especially with this paper trail. You know, Gates and Greenberg are both connected through Venmo to this then 18-year-old woman who is now a porn star. Right? Greenberg is expected to strike a plea deal, according to his lawyer, and is likely going to cooperate with the investigators. Oh, boy. So, if he does that, Greenberg, that could be a career-ending move for Gates. Investigators are looking into the connections between these two men. They're friends, yes, but how is their money tied together? Because that's what that means when they investigate something. Now, the financial records are what they're looking at now involving Matt Gates. And the way it's looking, folks, he's going down in flames. You know, he just may be one of those that goes down in flames, dying with the lie. But the evidence is out there. And I don't know how you going to spin the spin cycle on sending Greenberg $900 and then him sending three women all money within 24 hours, varying totals of money, sums of money that totaled the $900 you just gave. But what do you think? You think that's enough to fry this guy? Put him away? Enough to convict him? But again, like I have stated before, he knows better than this. But the tax bracket he resides in allows him, has afforded him this bubble kind of mentality that I'm untouchable. But all this is coming out because he upset somebody. I'm sure of it. So which wheel didn't you grease, Gates, to have this come upon you? Now, this next story is graphic. I want you to please use discretion. So there is a Michigan home inspector. He was filmed molesting an Elmo doll while on the job. You heard me correctly. The incident was caught on film. The suspect's name is Kevin Wayne Van Loven. The owners of the home let Van Loven into the house along with a realtor. Then they left them to look around. Van Loven went into the nursery where he started touching himself. Near the closet, right? Van Loven picked up the stuffed Elmo doll and began pleasuring himself with the doll. Now, the homeowners are watching this on their phones because there's a camera in the nursery. So when someone walks in the room, it's alert. I don't know what service they were using, but similarly to all these security apps and camera, you know, devices. Anyway. They're watching all of this. They call the police. The police claim that Van Loven admitted to handling the doll. But only because it was blocking an electrical socket, the outlet that he needed to inspect. I need to look at this, so I got to pick up the doll and move it, you know. After being told that the puppet show that he had on was recorded, he then confesses fully. So Van Loven was arraigned on charges of aggravated indecent exposure, which carries a maximum sentence of 2 years in prison, malicious destruction of property under $200, which carries a three-month sentence. So it's very light. But here's the issue, right? Not that, for, you know, nasty, right? Can't wait to get home or in private to do any of that. That's wild. It's wild. But if they weren't recording on the nanny cam, he would just put the doll back, man. Like, that's nasty. That's what I'm, come on, man. What world do we live in? Now, a court order reportedly prohibits Van Loven from being alone in a residential property other than his own. He has also been ordered to undergo a psychological evaluation. But that's nasty, man. Come on. And again, if they didn't have security cameras up, a way to monitor their home, they wouldn't know nothing about it. Like, that's, come on, man. Psych evaluation. It's nasty business, man. The world we live in. Weirdos. You can't trust anything. Head got to be on a swivel, I tell you. Now, source here is HUD.gov. We have to talk about this one, folks. A lot of people not going to like this. My perspective. But I am who I am. I have to give it to you the way I see it, the way I feel it. And I don't pull any punches. I hold back. I give it to you raw on this microphone. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is HUD, released $5 billion in American Rescue Plan money, allegedly to fight homelessness. Let's give them the Harry Potter clap here on that. But before you get too excited, before you get too moved or angry or whatever you have, let's remove emotion and take a look at this thoroughly. Now, HUD Secretary Marcia Fudge said that allocations to 651 grantees will be used to increase affordable housing and provide services for people experiencing homelessness. She said more than 580,000 people experience homelessness before the coronavirus, and the pandemic has only made the crisis worse. Great observation, Ms. Fudge. The funds released and the upcoming emergency rental vouchers will give communities resources to provide homes for people who endured the pandemic without them. Now, according to Ms. Fudge, between the American Rescue Plan and a separate coronavirus relief bill, there's enough money to provide as many as 30,000 new homes, new housing units. Now, she said the jobs package that President 46 Joe Biden introduced would create more than 2 million new low-income and affordable housing units over the next 8 years. I don't like it. I don't like it. Here's why. It addresses homelessness issues from people that lost their homes or became homeless during the pandemic. So in other words, people that were caused to be homeless because of the pandemic, the gooch, we're going to help them. It doesn't address all of those around the country in tent cities, right, that are homeless. So the people that were homeless before Corona, before the gooch, nothing for them. If you lost housing during the pandemic, We got a voucher for you that we're going to turn some Motel 6s or whatever building that they choose into basically a shelter, a rental shelter property. This also feels like some get back at Trump. He messed you up because of the virus, and if the virus was handled properly when it first happened, you wouldn't be homeless. So really blame him. But here we are, the white knight on the horse. Gonna save you. However, you had, during the pandemic, all these outlets, gurus, experts saying that you can't be put out of your home, can't be evicted. The moratorium, you heard that term, for a year. Well, how you get put out during a moratorium? Because of the pandemic. So how are you homeless because of Trump and the virus, his handling of it, and then you get put out of your home, but they say you can't be evicted? They're trying to paint this picture of a savior. They did the same thing with Trump, and they're doing it with 46. There is no savior. Not even Jesus is coming to save you. We need to come together and address humanity's issues and really deal with them. Not the surface, not scratch the surface, or you want a photo op. No. I'm talking about, what about those people that are homeless? Before, the people that was homeless 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the homeless guy that's been on the corner around the corner from your house by the bodega, that's been homeless ever since you've been 8 years old. That's what we're talking about. Here's more from Marcia Fudge, if you care to hear. If all of those things work together, then I am very, very confident that we can eradicate homelessness and we can make sure that people have the wraparound services that they need to stay in stable housing. Okay. But when you talk about low income, stable housing, some people that are homeless do maintain a job. But a vast majority of them cannot or do not. So to offer them affordable housing, low income housing, how are they going to maintain that if you don't couple that with employment assistance? You see where I'm going with this? Which tells you, if you read in between these lines, that they're not talking about tent cities. They're talking about fixing the fact that you were evicted because of the gooch. Is that good? Yes. But you're fixing an issue that America caused that puts a Band-Aid on the bigger issue, which is homelessness. See, we cannot interchange homelessness with low-income housing vouchers. They're not the same thing. I understand. People need this help. I want you to have that help. That is great. But there's also people that haven't had a home, period. And they're ignored. Invisible People is the channel on YouTube. Check it out. Those are the people that we need to focus on. Okay, so you've done this. You've given the $5 billion to people that lost homes, lost housing during the Gooch season, right? You got anything for those people that I'm speaking about? The invisible people? That's the question. And I'm not holding my breath because I know that the answer is no. You got nothing for them. Nothing. Because everything is for a photo op to look good on a resume and to be pleasers of your constituents and, you know, be reelected. That's all that matters to these politicians, these big wigs, these suits. Really help the people. Like, really be about the people. But that's what we got. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to get out of here tonight. I want to thank you for your time, taking this ride. And also, Dark Man X.
Where my dogs at?
We're going to miss you. Thank you for your dedication to hip-hop music, poetry, using your pain as your muse, and so many lives that you have touched.
Where my dogs at?
Thank you. Light and love to everybody that is dealing with the loss and life of DMX, but especially to his family. Light and love to you. And thank you for your sacrifice of allowing us to share in DMX's life. I'm Jay Daniel. This has been Moonbeam Radio. I'll see you next week. Take care.